Well, today is our final installment of the 5 weeks on prayer that we launched into back at the beginning of the month. And what a good time it has been to talk about prayer and to recognize all that God has given to us. Because we really need, don't we? Anyone here want to say we really need more prayer? We're going to be moving on into a different theme as we move forward into the Advent season leading us into Christmas. But for today, we want to wrap up with this final piece, and it's called The Remedy to an Anxious Heart. Now, I'm not sure about your heart. I'm not trying to condemn anyone, say maybe your heart's filled with anxiety, but we know that we live in a world that is filled with anxiety right now, don't we? Maybe I could even ask, what are the roots? What are the causes of the anxiety we feel? Anyone, you don't, it may be yours, it may be somebody else's, but what are some of the things that go on that cause the sense of anxiety to well up in us, to cause a sense of can't hardly breathe because of the anxiousness we feel? No control. Good, Pam. Yeah, that sense of being out of control in things big beyond us or even things right here in our own life that cause us to catch. Andrew. Not knowing. Okay, so that uncertainty about what tomorrow is going to bring causes a sense of anxiety. Good. Anything else? Anybody? Val. Okay, so a sense of hypocrisy when people tell you to do one thing and they're doing something else. We're not going to go down that line. That could be a landmine of politics here. Okay, but it's true. It's anybody. Yeah, they tell you what you should do, and yet they don't follow through and do it themselves. Good. Maybe one more. Fear. I'm not sure who said it first. I heard it out of two ears. And so fear. Yeah, fear is one of those things when we are afraid of what may come because we don't know what's coming. And it becomes a difficult, difficult time. You know, we do. We have all of this sense of agitation, whatever the causes are, that sense, that frustration. Maybe sometimes it's a disappointment. There's just a low-grade anger that we often feel that kind of runs down beneath things, that things are just not right, and I'm not happy about it, and I really want something else, but I just feel overwhelmed. And I know this is a challenge for us because we're moving through a time that we've never seen before, and so all the uncertainty and all those things get just brought to the surface. So we live in these times of anxiousness, and so I want to talk about a recipe for diminishing that anxiety today. But I'm going to start, before I get into our main passage, is going to come out of Philippians chapter 4, but I'm going to start today with a different passage, and it starts in 1 Thessalonians 5. There's a passage of scripture here that the Apostle Paul wrote 2,000 years ago because anxious times and anxiety is not new to our world just this year. It's something that we have been dealing with as human beings from the beginning of time. Paul gave some instructions at the conclusion of the letter of 1 Thessalonians, and in verse 16 of chapter 5, he says this, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." We struggle with that, don't we? Let's be honest. We rarely rejoice. We pray infrequently. And we struggle to give thanks because our circumstances seem to always be at work against us. All those things that you said cause anxiety are always at work in us. And because of all those things, the idea of giving thanks or the idea of praying continually or rejoicing always tends to be a point of struggle. And why is it so difficult for us to be thankful? I'm going to give you three reasons why, and I'll walk through. Maybe you'll see yourself in some of these. Maybe you won't. One of the main reasons why people struggle with Thanksgiving, not the day of Thanksgiving, but of giving thanks, is because we tend to be nitpickers. Do we have any nitpickers here? Got some nit you need picked? Yeah, there you go. That's me too. It's always something that is wrong. If something is to this or it's to that. You know, something is good, but it's not good enough. You know, the porridge is too hot or too cold. I wish we could be like Goldilocks and eventually find our way to that place of the just right. But it always seems to elude us that there's always something amiss. You know, this person is doing something that is wrong. This person is doing something that is bad. And we tend to get this sense of there's always something wrong. And it's easy for us, even when most everything may be right, to have all of our attention drawn to the thing which is out of place. Long time ago, in the comics Peanuts, Charles Schulz wrote this about his beloved Snoopy. And I love this. If you can read it, great. If you can't, let me walk it through with you. Snoopy comes and he sees his bowl of food. This happens to be on Thanksgiving Day. So Snoopy looks at it and he says, how about that? Everyone is eating turkey, but because I'm a dog, I get dog food. Then, of course, things could be worse. I could have been born a turkey. You know, there's always something. Maybe you're not getting exactly what you want, but maybe you're getting what you need. Life doesn't come always in black and white, where it's all yes or all no. There's always this constantly shifting shades of gray that we live with, and when we want all to be right, we're going to always be disappointed. We're not going to find perfection in this life. We'll only find it in the life that is to come. And so as we continue to yearn and as we pick at all the nits, because things are not quite perfect, and if we focus on the nits that are not quite perfect, we will always be struggling with thanksgiving because we'll always have a reason not to be thankful. Okay, second one I want to talk about this is the fact that many of us are also fall in this category that we have a hard time being satisfied. There's always something more. How much is enough? And the answer is, more, and that always is the ongoing answer for us. Proverbs 27:20 says this, death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the eyes of man. There is something in our human spirit that always has us yearning for something more. We get a nice TV, and all of a sudden, but we see the advertisement comes out that they got a sale on even bigger ones, and all of a sudden, my nice new TV is not so good, nice and new anymore. You know, we've got a great meal on the table and we're really enjoying it until we look on our Facebook page and see what our friend posted their meal looked like. And all of a sudden their meal looks better than ours. Or their house looks better than ours. Or their vacation looks better than ours. And all of a sudden what we had is no longer good enough. There is something more and we want to have it. And we're constantly on track trying to get that constant more. We want for people to do what we want for people to do. We expect that they're going to do and react in ways that we hope that they're going to expect and react. And when we put those expectations on other people in the way that they should be, because they're not doing it right. Anyone know someone who's not doing it right? Yeah, yes. Everyone. Well, yeah, we all are. Thank you, Andrew. Good point. But that's just going to lead us to an inevitable resentment because it's not going to work that way. And the final piece I want to say, the number three, and this is what we've touched on a little bit, and that it has to do with just that sense of fear or worry or anxiety. Because we cannot be both anxious and thankful at the same time. Our brains are not wired for that. Now, at one point, I say, well, gosh, God, why didn't you wire our brains to be that way? So that when, even though we're feeling anxiety, we could also feel that sense of gratitude or thankfulness. But God didn't wire our brains that way. And you know why? Because he didn't want us constantly in a civil war of anxiety and gratitude fighting. He wanted us to be able to move in a way that anxiety gets diminished so that the thankfulness might begin to be increased. That's why we are told to give thanks, not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. That even though we're in the midst of these circumstances, which may be trying, which may be fearful, that we are invited to something far better. And it says, give thanks in the midst of all of those circumstances. And as we do, we'll find the anxiety level begins to diminish. So here's that prescription for the anxious heart. It seems impossible, but I want to go to it. Oh, before we do that, yes, the happiness. This goes back to the whole idea of what does it mean for us to be happy? It's not in more. It's not in getting all that you want, but it's enjoying all that you have. Okay, let's move forward. Here's the prescription for the anxious heart. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. First off, that sounds like it's impossible, doesn't it? Because we live in a world that is filled with anxiety and we are constantly being riddled by reasons why we should be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but here it comes. But in every situation, similar to that in all circumstances, in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's the promise. It starts off with the invitation to not be anxious, but then he concludes with that promise that God's peace will guard our hearts, will keep our hearts at peace rather than filled with anxiety. If we can follow this prescription, and the prescription is really simple. It's what we've been talking about these last 4 weeks. It is in every situation by prayer and petition. In other words, taking that thing that we are worried about, taking that thing that we are fearful about, taking that thing that we are uncertain about, taking that thing that causes us to realize that we're out of control. Whatever that situation is, that individual, that what have you, whatever it might be, you take it and you make that into the heart of your prayer. And you offer it to God with thanksgiving. The promise is God's peace will then take hold. God's peace will then hold on to us. And it doesn't mean that situation is going to all go your way, but it means that God's peace is going to take hold. So prayer becomes not simply trying to get my way or getting God to do what I want him to, but prayer becomes allowing God's peace to have its proper place in my heart, so that in whatever that circumstance is, I can walk through it with his peace rather than being overwhelmed by the anxiety of the world around me. When I first read this, or when I was even preparing for it, I was thinking, you know, that sometimes we hear that word thanksgiving there, with thanksgiving. It's right in the middle. It's right in the middle of the text, if you might have noticed it. And sometimes we think that Paul is just throwing that in, kind of a little add-on or a toss-in, just, you know, just putting it in because he wants to sound more spiritual or something here. But it's not that at all. Because we can't be both anxious and thankful at the same time, by inviting us to be praying with a thankful heart, that's the secret sauce that makes it all work. You know, it's like having, you got a great bun, you got a great burger, but you need the secret sauce to really make it shine. And that's what he's saying here, is that thanksgiving is not just some extra add-on, it is the key ingredient. That as we can move into a time of thanksgiving, when whether it be this day, or whether it be a habit that we begin to develop of trying to remain in a place of being thankful, that begins to be the antidote to the anxieties that we feel. You know, that Jesus is already overcome, and that we can say, give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His love endures forever. That is something we can hold on to, and because we can hold on to that, and we can make that the focus of our life, then the anxieties and all the worries begin to fall into their proper perspective. It's all about perspective. If Christ hadn't done what he has already done, then it would not matter. It would not matter at all. But because Christ has done what he has done, now it's about our perspective, keeping that at the forefront. And so it's for us to be about this idea of developing a thankful heart, developing a thankful spirit. And whatever, however you would do that, last year we talked about a 21-day challenge. That was last year in November. This year in November, we didn't talk about that, but we focused on this idea of prayer. But maybe we need to simply start taking and making habits that enable us to grow in our awareness of all we have. The psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That is true no matter what our circumstances may be. And so we can always go to that. But every day we can find someone that we might say thank you to. So it's not just being thankful to God, but it's just developing a thankful spirit. Find someone today that you can say thankful to. Make a list and begin to add to it every day. This is something that I'm thankful for. Make that list. Keep that list. Not because you're going to need to prove something to yourself, but because as we get in the habit of being recognizing what we are thankful for, as we begin to continue to make that our routine, then the anxiety has less room in our heart and in our minds to rule us. because Thanksgiving is beginning to take its rightful place. I know some families go around the table at Thanksgiving and they say, hey, name something that you're thankful for. Anyone do that? Maybe that should be an everyday event. And even if you're not sharing a meal with somebody, maybe you can say, before I eat, I'm going to think about something that I am thankful for. Maybe it's this meal, or maybe it's something else. But just as a way of keeping that idea, keeping that habit of somehow being thankful and aware of our reasons to be thankful, we can continue to go back to it. It's in a way kind of like changing the muscle memory of our brain, that our brain is just so ingrained to run to anxiety. But if we can begin to change that muscle memory to move it more towards Thanksgiving, the anxiety has to diminish. Because like I said, our brains don't do both at the same time. So in the midst of the anxious world, we may not be able to change the anxieties that the world throws at us, but we can change how they affect us. And as we move into this time of being thankful, our prayers riddled with, filled with sense of being thankful for what God has done. And maybe thanks isn't the main focus of your prayers, but maybe it can be as we move forward. So let's pray. God, we give you thanks for this week and for the reminder of your goodness to us. God, I pray that even in our moments of quiet, in our times of prayer, that you would enable us to feel a sense of your goodness welling up. Even as we begin to lift our anxious moments and anxious thoughts and all the fears that seem to surround us, God, even as we lift them to you and we feel you lifting them off of us, God, enable us to maintain that sense of who you are and all you've done, that we might begin to allow your peace to take root in our hearts as well. Father, continue to generate in us a desire for you and a desire for that peace. God, help us to be thankful as we seek to unlock that door and allow you to have greater sense of purpose in our lives and a greater influence over the way our heart responds to the world around us. God, for all those long-standing prayers, prayers that seem not to have been answered, and for the challenges we have of waiting, God, I pray that you would enable us to see glimmers of your goodness and find reasons for our thankfulness, even in the midst of sometimes sad times or difficulties. But Father, also in the moments of joy, God, help us not to overlook. Help us to come together to be thankful for the many blessings that we have, and to find our hope rooted thoroughly and completely in you. God, we thank you for your goodness on this day, and we pray that you would enable us to rest in that goodness as we move throughout the week. Father, you are a great God, and we thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.